We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
About this from last week, also looking at our numbers very closely. We in no way want to go backwards at all. And in order to not go backwards and fully, there are some adjustments that we will have to make. And they will start on this Saturday at 6 a.m., Saturday, July 11th. This is based on the increase in case counts, the positivity rate, that is just not about testing and increased testing. And what really gives me pause is looking at the hospitalizations that has shifted in the wrong direction. So based on these increase counts, the positivity rate, the hospitalization, it is imperative that again we move towards making some more restrictions. It doesn't come easy, I have to say, but it's necessary. And also, I believe it's quite balanced because what we do understand from the rate of positivity cases, and as they have been traced back, very much heavily associated with bars as well as large gatherings. This is regardless if our bars are doing the right thing, meaning with social distancing and the like, they really have been trying very hard and doing some good things. However, it's bringing people together and it is having an immediate impact on the rate of spread in our community. So with that, we are going to be restricting restaurants as well as bars, that there will be no bar seating. So no bar seating, whether you serve food or not. This is a concession, we believe, that is a step in the right direction to prevent having to close bars in our community. And so with that, again, restaurants, as well as our bars, will be limited to table seating only. No service at the bar. Of course, customers will be able to go to a centralized location identified by the bar or the restaurant for ordering, for pickup, as well as for ordering and pickup. That's whether it's you're calling in, making an order, or if you're ordering while you're inside the establishment. But the bars, as well as restaurants, will have a place identified just for you. We have many different examples in our community throughout the city to where this is already current practice. One that's off the top of my head that's doing it so well is like Finn McCool's, for example. They do not have bar seating. That's table seating only. This is the practice that they already started with and initiated, and they're doing very well. And we're going to encourage, and really those who feel that they cannot accommodate this new change, we're encouraging them and letting them know that they really can. And this means utilizing public space outside of your establishment, as well as private and parking lots maybe adjacent to the establishment. We're going to be as helpful as possible as a city to help our restaurants and our bars continue to operate. So this is a concession that, again, is a non-negotiable at this time. Another is the gathering sizes, particularly for indoor events. So we're lowering it to 25 people. Outside gatherings, they will remain at that 100 cap, and of course, a safety officer for every 50, set of 50, you need that safety officer. So those really are the two changes that are coming from the city at this time. We are very hopeful that this will keep us from going into community spread. I'm going to ask Dr. Vegno to come up and give you a little bit more information in regards to why these changes are necessary and are the best thing for us to do for our people at this particular time. So with that, Dr. Vegno, come forward. And of course, we have everything we need here. And I'll come back.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thanks, everybody. You know, you've heard us say these last few weeks that we're very concerned with where we are currently and where we're headed. Louisiana currently has the fourth highest rate of new cases per capita in the country. This is a really sharp reversal of where we had been. Cases are rising in every region of the state. In New Orleans, our increase has not been as steep as other regions, but we all know that as Louisiana goes, so goes New Orleans. We are intricately intertwined. Over the last week, and you can follow along with us on our milestone dashboard at ready.nola.gov, our rolling average of new cases, that's one of our first milestone, has been hovering around 50 cases a day. In fact, 4 out of the last 7 days, it has exceeded that threshold that we set for ourselves. Today, we reported 81 new cases in Orleans. That's more cases in a single day than we've seen since April 20th when we were under a full stay-at-home order. So that's 2.5 months ago. It's very clear from our conversations with the Louisiana Department of Health that the vast majority of new cases statewide and in Region 1 are coming from community spread as opposed to isolated facilities like nursing homes or jails or other congregant settings. So as we've said, new cases are not the only indicator that we watch. We have also seen, as the mayor said, a significant rise in the rate of our positive cases. It's nearly doubled in the last 2 weeks. So it's not just a function of our high levels of testing, but the cases are more and more positive. Hospitalizations, again, are rising throughout the state, including in Region 1. And while our hospitals do continue to have robust capacity, hospitalizations are really a lagging indicator of a surge. So it may not be for another few weeks that we truly see the effect of what we're seeing right now in cases. It's pretty clear that we are on a dangerous path if we do not take action. So because of these trends, as you heard the mayor say, we are tightening restrictions on those activities that are known to be high risk, the highest risk for transmission of the virus. As you have seen all over the country, really all over the world, over and over and over again, uncontrolled, crowded, largely indoor social gatherings continue to be fuel for the fire of COVID-19. LDH has confirmed that many of the known clusters in the state stem from bars and social gatherings. The science behind this makes it pretty clear why these are high risk. So remember, the virus is transferred more easily the closer people are to each other. The more forcefully or loudly that someone talks, the easier it is to expel viral particles. And if they are in a confined space without good ventilation, so think a cramped indoor space, it's much easier for it to spread, up to several times more easily than if they are in outdoors, well-ventilated space. So think of a bar or a similar space where there is often loud music, meaning people have to be very close to each other to hear each other and talk loudly, and where it's also often, for many reasons, challenging for people to maintain strict physical distancing and mask wearing, we know the risk of transmission is much higher. So restricting bars to table service only and limiting indoor gatherings to 25, which is consistent with many, many other states around the country, we believe this will help minimize the risk of the activities, not only to individuals and customers, but to those employees and staff that are trying to make a living by working at these establishments. We truly, truly hope that tightening these restrictions for the sake of public health will allow us to continue to support business reopening, and as the mayor said, not go backwards. I just want to close by giving an update on testing, since that's been such a hot topic the last couple of days. As you've seen, we continue to see a substantial demand for testing. Today, we ran out of spots 30 minutes before our testing site opened. The New Orleans Health Department and the City of New Orleans remain committed to community-based testing at the highest level of possible. Testing is key for us as public health officials to see those trends in real time and be able to make plans for the future. That being said, we do not have a resolution to the supply shortages that we discussed in the past couple of days. This issue has been elevated by our city team, our congressional delegation, and including directly to the White House task force. So we have knocked on every door that is available to us and continue to do so. We do have some good news on the horizon. In the next week that we will have an additional partner who is setting up a testing site 6 days a week in the New Orleans area. They're not quite ready to announce yet, but it should be in the next couple of days. That will add some tests, which will be helpful for our capacity. And as soon as we have that ready, it'll be at ready.nola.gov. But please understand, even with this, with the shortages, we still face a bit of an uncertain future. And that if you have been tested, you should expect to see a longer wait time for your results. If you have been tested, you need to act as if you have COVID, regardless of how long your results. And that brings me to a critical point. Testing is a critical tool in the pandemic, but it is not a substitute for proper behavior. It is not a substitute for wearing a mask, keeping physical distancing, avoiding large gatherings, washing your hands. Each and every New Orleanian needs to act as if they and everyone they come into contact with has COVID, and act accordingly. If we all do that, if we start with that assumption, we will all wear our masks, we'll keep our distance, and be able to go about our daily lives. Those simple actions paired with testing will get us back to a level of viral suppression that can allow for fewer restrictions. The key to controlling this virus has not changed and is unlikely to change until we have a vaccine or a cure. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Vagno. And Colin?
Afternoon. So today I'd like to again talk about the COVID-19 emergency feeding program that the city has undertaken with our partners at FEMA. And as you know, we've signed an agreement with Revolution Foods. They were one of the proposers, the selected proposer out of a lot of interest. I believe we reviewed 12 proposals that were submitted. Theirs was by far the best. They truly took the spirit of what our proposal or what our RFP was asking for, which was one, feed people in this COVID-19 environment that need it, two meals a day, every day of the week, two, involve the restaurants in this somehow, our restaurant industry. It's not going to make them whole, but it's going to give them a lifeline. It's going to get them to start business again. And that was the two primary goals of the RFP that was put out. So Revolution ran with it. They've partnered with up to 100 restaurants in the city, some of the more well-known restaurants and well-visited restaurants that we all know of and have eaten at, and the food is that quality. I will say that I've seen the menu. They started yesterday delivering 2,800 meals to people around the city. It's a large operation. The restaurants cook the food. Revolution and their logistical transportation partners package the food and deliver it. Delivery is verified in real time. It's quite an operation. We've already gotten a lot of compliments about the quality of the food. I would say that there's options for low sodium diabetics, celiac, and also a vegetarian option. And of course, the food allergens are taken into account as well. So I would encourage everyone affected by COVID-19 to call 311 and determine your eligibility. We have a lot of capacity with this program. We want to make sure that people are availing themselves of it if they need it. I will say phone lines are busy, so be patient. Continue to try and call if you get a busy signal or message. There's a lot of interest in this program. There is another ability to access this by going to NOLA.gov/311 online, realizing that for some of our population, the online option is not really an option. I would say that if you're a neighbor or a friend or you know someone who may need this program and you can help them with that, please do. Let's be New Orleanians. But as I said, a program started yesterday. It's going to run for 30 days. There is options to renew based on how it's looking and where the federal government is and FEMA is at this point. It's a reimbursable program. Again, providing up to 1.8 million meals in 30 days. So there is capacity there. We want people to sign up. Please call 311 or again, go online to NOLA.gov/311. Thanks.
Thank you, Colin. Yes, and as you all know, it is imperative to have a command unit, a unified command when it comes to enforcing the guidelines that have been put forth by the City of New Orleans. And I wanted to ask our Director of Code Enforcement, Mr. Reed, if you want to come forth and just give some feedback on aggressive enforcement actions taken by the City of New Orleans.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you to the team. First of all, again, I want to thank our state partners and the city inspectors for their hard work thus far. The results have really been surprising since previous week to this past weekend over the 4th of July. We have seen a significant increase of compliance. So I want to thank not only that team from the enforcement side, but I want to thank you to our business community. I want to thank the business community from the box stores to the gas stations, the meat markets, and all alike. You know, it's important that we're counting on you to do your part. We're going to pull together. We're still in this fight together. So it's important you understand that of those who have heeded to the mayor's call and messaging around making sure that you provide the level of enforcement at the storefront as they come into the stores, that you have a level of enforcement to ensure that your customers and your employees are being protected. And so again, I thank you all for doing your part thus far. But I do want to be clear in the mayor's messaging, as we make these changes in our restrictions, that our boots on the ground will be visible. This task force with the fire marshal, the Louisiana Alcohol, Tobacco and Control Agency, and the city inspectors, and the health department, the health division of inspections, we will be visible. This is a time where we know that from enforcement, we're gonna have to step up our game too. And so we're asking those community leaders to heed the call once again. And for those who don't think that we will be visible, and those who don't think that we will carry out our test non-functional enforcement, you will see. It's important that we come together, and that we take this seriously, and that you do your part. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Winston. Well, thank you all very much. I do want to ask our people to, you took your mask, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get mine off. I want to ensure that people call 311 for, of course, reporting large gatherings and those businesses that are not in compliance, but also utilize 311 to sign up for meals and get information on additional resources that are available to help our residents through these very trying times. So with that, Ms. Latanya, I'm sure we'll have questions and answers.
Absolutely, Madam Mayor. WDSU?
I have a question on another topic. Is that okay?
Well, let's deal with this one, and then
you know how I do. I'll get you after.
The advocate.
Madam Mayor, you talked about concessions earlier with some of the bars and restaurants. I was wondering if you could describe the conversations that led up to this point and how you guys decided to go with these particular restrictions.
Well, I mean, these restrictions really came from the public health team. In looking at trends, looking at the contact tracing mechanisms that are in place that have definitely found an alignment at bars as well as these large gatherings as being the locations that are contributing to positive cases and a tipping point to community spread. And so we are seeing it here in Orleans Parish, but also being very aware of what's happening around us. And so limiting bars to table seating only, as well as restaurants, table seating only, that would help prevent further spread of this virus. And the projections, you know, when you're drinking, you're at the bar, the close proximity even to staff or employees, but it's the projections. You tend to get loud, that sort of thing, and it's contributing to the community spread that we do not want to see in the city of New Orleans. So we believe that it is a step in the right direction, not wanting to be too drastic as we're looking, you know, at the trends, and we believe this is the best step to take right now to prevent having to close bars altogether. And also being able to see in action how bars have been able to accommodate their customers as well as improve public health outcomes in their establishments by doing these types of things.
Jessica,
you had a follow-up? I did. I just wanted to know if you guys talked to bars before announcing the decision today, and then also if you could address whether or not you guys are still seeing increasing cases in young people. Okay. Well, as it relates to the bars, now I have my hospitality call every Wednesday now, still at 1. Is it at 1? Forget. 12 or 1?
12 or 1.
Believe it's at noon. No, it's not. It's at 1. Change it up. So my hospitality call was today at 1 p.m. and I gave them information regarding the restrictions on that call and also talked to them about some of other concerns that I have about Bourbon Street. And so no decisions have been made yet, you know, about Bourbon Street. However, just having the dialogue, because it's going to take a comprehensive approach in working with our business owners to render the best solutions possible to keep our people safe, both customers, employees, and visitors alike. But that is a concern. Bourbon Street worries me. I'm being very honest about it. And over the weekend, and it's very difficult. And I also understand, you know, that the bars, it's not their fault either, meaning what happens, you know, on the street. But it's a unified approach that we're going to have to take. And so I started those conversations with them today on that 1 p.m. call. But these restrictions were shared. And one of my good friends, who's just been a great partner, Mr. Mark with Bar Tonique, was very upset with me about this. And I asked Mark, I said, man, just put you some tables and chairs outside. You know, those are the type of concessions that we're trying to make as a city, giving our people a greater opportunity to utilize public rights of way, and even, of course, working with them on their private spaces and the like. But because positive cases have been traced back to bars, this is necessary. And of course, it prevents us from having to close them down, which will be an even greater hit to our business community. Oh, she did ask me. I'll go on and on. I want to have Dr. Vagno answer that because she's literally in the hospital as well.
Thank you.
Telemundo.
Yes, about the testing. We don't use here, but in Baton Rouge, they increase to 5,000 per day.
Yeah. Oh, don't get Dr. Vega started on that. Go ahead, let's tell him about it.
You know, it's sort of like the prodigal son, right? The brother who's doing all the right things didn't get the fatty calf. Not to throw a biblical reference in there. I'm glad that Baton Rouge is getting additional help, because clearly the rate of case increase that they've seen is very high. They're our brothers and sisters. We absolutely want to support them. But we don't want it to be, it shouldn't be a zero-sum game. It shouldn't be if Baton Rouge gets more tests than New Orleans gives up tests. And that's not what it's being portrayed as. My concern with Baton Rouge is that, like us, they will have plenty of kits, the swabs and the test tubes, but I'm not sure if they're getting the machine supplies that they're going to need to run those kits. So my concern is that they will be getting, you know, the 5,000 a day or however much, but if it takes a lab 8 to 10 days to process them, that's not going to be any more helpful than it is for us.
Yeah, remember, we had to shut down. We were the first to stand up on the federal pilot testing site, but we were able to get tests processed faster without them. And so we don't want to go back there again. And so when we talk about the need for additional equipment, it's to process tests at a rapid pace so that we can, you know, identify, isolate, quarantine, and prevent going into community spread. That's the issue. That's the issue.
That's it. I have two questions. The first one, again, in addition to Bourbon Street over the weekend, there were a lot of parties around college campuses and things of that nature. Do you have any specific comments in regards to local campuses?
Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons about the gatherings and reducing the amount of individuals there. We are also working with, and you saw one of the deans kind of came out and spoke very to the point to their student population about following rules and not having these types of events. We're going to keep that going, meaning the level of communication open with our higher ed community as well, which that's been consistent throughout this pandemic, meaning how we organize and how we meet and they have a safe environment to share information and give information. But it's one thing that we're going to double down on in communication with the schools to see how we also can better help them. But with the dean taking that step definitely in the right direction, I'm hoping that other institutions will follow, so there will be a unified message. Because up until now, it's really been the city of New Orleans. And so wanting our partners to also echo. And we're seeing that happen with our higher ed community, and we're going to continue to encourage that as best we can.
And second question real quick, when exactly do these changes for bars and restaurants take effect?
We will stick with our Saturday. It will be July the 11th, which is a Saturday at 6 a.m. They will come into effect.
WWL.
Yes. Does the 25-person limit applies to others, such as churches?
No, it applies to exactly what we've indicated. Really looking at the churches is a different type of venue, rather, so not at all as it relates to our churches.
And how might this affect schools?
Schools?
Yes.
Well, all of this affects schools, because right now we're not at a place to where, if we had to say, you know, if they wanted to implement the opening of schools tomorrow, we would not be there. And so all of this, all of what we're working very hard and diligently to do is to prevent community spread. And of course, in doing that, would allow for fewer restrictions in the future. And one big priority is getting our kids back into school. That is a big
big priority. And I know it's not just of me as mayor, but it is of families throughout the city of New Orleans. And I believe as we have started to frame it in this manner, that parents are paying a greater attention to the guidelines, because what we do today will have an immediate impact on whether or not school will be open for our children come August, the first week in August, and I can't overstate it enough.
One more question. How has contact tracing been going, and are you getting a good response from contact tracing?
It can be better. The issues with contact tracing has been, the greatest issue has been people not answering the phone or not forthcoming with information when they do answer the phone. I'm told it's still around the 60%. Doc, get me straight on that. About 60% in regards to in a positive direction, meaning answering the call, getting the information, and that's how we're able to utilize that information, tracing it right back to large gatherings as well as bars. But clearly the goal would be to get 100%, because that way we could do a better job of understanding where people are moving and going, and tracing them right back to where they contacted the virus in the first place. But we need to identify, you know, test, identify, and of course quarantine, isolate. We do not want to go back.
Thank you.
WGNO.
You said some of these numbers, the increases, were coming from restaurants and bars?
Bars, yes. Large gatherings.
Do you happen to know if some of those numbers include restaurant employees and bar employees?
Okay. Yeah, hold on, come on. Okay.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, it is a good question. And some of you might have seen the State Department of Health is actually going to start publishing their cluster information. I just saw it before I walked in. I had seen it before, but it's publicly available now. And you'll see that they have a division between cases that come that they've identified from bars and from restaurants. But I've talked to them in detail about this, and there is a lot. There is some overlap in the restaurant category. Some of it they feel might be a restaurant that was really acting more like a bar, but technically was a restaurant on the books. It includes both employees and customers. But there's not really a good, they're refining how they ask the questions to see, is this a staff in the kitchen who then gave it to two other staff in the kitchen, or is it a transmission between a staff and a customer, or a customer and a staff? So there's still a little bit of murkiness in that data, but if you look at the cases that they've had in restaurants, it is both employees and customers, though it's not clear yet if they're sort of linked to the same outbreaks. But they're working on really providing that so everybody has a better sense of how that goes.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else regarding restrictions? Okay, and WDSU off topic?
Yes.
I think about these earrings, man. I just told you.
Another statue was vandalized at Jeff Davis in Tulane. And just want to get your reaction to that.
Well, first of all, I don't know. I mean, the specifics and what you're asking me. But any vandalization that happens to public property, individuals will be held accountable, period.
Thank you.
So I'll definitely learn more, you know, about the facts associated with that, because I don't have all of that prior to coming to this press conference. Okay, so thank you all again so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.